Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 7, Indra offends Brihaspati, text number 15. Could you read Bhagavad Gita?
Amaracharyam.
Agadadishanam dvijam
prasadayishe
nishata
kirshna
tat charnam
sprishan.
By His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. King Indra said, "Therefore, with great frankness and without duplicity, I shall now bow my head at the lotus feet of Brihaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods, because he is in the mode of goodness. He is fully aware of all knowledge and is the best of the Brahmins. Now I shall touch his lotus feet and offer my obeisances unto him to try to satisfy him." Purport. Coming to his senses, King Indra realized that he was not a very sincere disciple of his spiritual master, Brihaspati. Therefore he decided that henceforward he would be Nishata, non-duplicitous. Nishata, Shirshna, Tatscharnam, Sprishan. He decided to touch his head to the feet of his spiritual master. From this example, we should learn this principle enunciated by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadan nagati kutopi. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one is benedicted by the mercy of Krishna. Without the grace of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. A disciple should never be a hypocrite or unfaithful to his spiritual master. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 11:17-27, the spiritual master is also called Acharya. Acharya mam vijaniyan. The Supreme Personality of Godhead says that one should respect the spiritual master, accepting him as the Lord himself. Navamanyeta karhi chit. One should not disrespect the Acharya at any time. Namartya buddhya suyeta. One should not think the Acharya an ordinary person. Familiarity sometimes breeds contempt, but one should be very careful in one's dealings with the Acharya. Agada dishanam dvijam. The Acharya is a perfect Brahmin and has unlimited intelligence in guiding the activities of his disciple. Therefore, Krishna advises in Bhagavad Gita 4:34, Tadvidi pranipatena pari prashnena sevaya upadek shanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshanaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. One should fully surrender unto the spiritual master, and with service, sevaya, one should approach him for further enlightenment. Ataham amaracharyam agada dishanam dvijam prasada yishe nishata shirshna tascharnam sprishan. King Indra said, "Therefore, with great frankness and without duplicity, I shall now bow my head at the lotus feet of Brihaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods. Because he is in the mode of goodness, he is fully aware of all knowledge, and is the best of the Brahmins. Now I shall touch his lotus feet and offer my obeisances unto him to try to satisfy him." Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthapataye Srimate Bhakti Viranta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasatundeve Gauravani Vacharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatya Desitarane. Here a number of things are mentioned. One of them is that a spiritual master should be respected on the same level as Krishna. So therefore we have to find out who's the spiritual master. And the other is that a spiritual master has certain qualifications. It is not by birth. It is not simply a formality. It is by qualification. As in the 11th canto it says, Tasmat Guru Prapadyate Jignasya Shreya Uttama Shabda Pare Janishnatam Brahmam Yupashrayashramam. Someone get the phone. So Tasmat Gurum Papadyate Jignasu Shreya Uttama. This is the qualification of the disciple. He's supposed to be Jignasu. He's supposed to be inquisitive about what? About Uttama, the highest good. Tad Viganartam Sagurum Eva Bigachet Samitpani Strotriam Brahmanishta. He's supposed to be inquiring about what is ultimate good. As if we read Bhagavad Gita, we can understand that our ultimate good is to get out at least of the bodily concept of life. That anyone who thinks himself to be an American or an Indian or from Australia, then he's in the bodily concept of life and he's in ignorance. So one who's in ignorance, he cannot understand what his real ultimate good is, because he doesn't understand that he's not his body. Of course, beyond the body, just like Shabda Pare Tanishnatam, Shabda, Shabde means in the Vedas, and Pare in the Supreme. Nishnatam, in two aspects of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, becoming fixed. And Brahman, Upashrayashrama. Upashrama means to be detached from the material existence. That completely detached from the material existence, that Nishnatam means to be fixed in knowledge of the Supreme, in His features, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, ultimately in Bhagavan. And Nishnatam means a stage where one is actually not deviated by other considerations in service to Krishna. Generally, we're deviated principally by our anarthas. And the anarthas are generally things like, what's the word for laziness? What's that? A lot. But there's the different impediments towards being fixed in nishta. So one of them is
Laya.
Inattentiveness while engaged in hearing and chanting and remembering Krishna. And then there is a prapati, indifference to hearing, chanting, and remembering Krishna. In other words, one may be very lazy in the matter of hearing and chanting, or he may be distracted from hearing and chanting. He may not want to do it. He may be very lazy in doing it. Or if he's not lazy and he's not indifferent, he just doesn't want to do it. In any case, the principal reason is that we don't have a taste. There's no ruchi, nor is there sufficient intelligence to understand things properly. That we don't understand the seriousness of hearing and chanting about Krishna, therefore we don't take it very seriously. And because we don't hear and chant about Krishna, therefore we don't take seriously service to Krishna either. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Vita raga baya krodha manmaya mamupashitya bhavo jnana tapasa putamadvavam agata. So this raga, baya, and krodha, these are the main impediments to material existence. So due to rag, attachment, we've lost our real intelligence. Just like there are five kleshas, beginning with avidya. So due to avidya, or lack of true understanding of our real position, we acquire this rag and this dvesha. Actually, before that, we acquire this false ego. known as asmita. So due to this false ego, due to ignorance, we identify ourselves with this body, and we forget our real nature as a spiritual soul, and we become attached to certain things, and we become averse to other things. And this leads to, ultimately, abhinivesha, namely, our fearful state of existence, always in anxiety, unsure what the future is, always wondering what's going to happen to me, namely my body. In other words, one is more or less bayam dvitiya vineshatasya isharabhatasya viparyosmriti. Due to this false ego we've acquired and this attachment and aversion, we've reversed our role. Instead of thinking ourselves to be the servant of Krishna, we think ourselves his competitor. So this competition manifests itself in different ways in the material world, either between nations or between societies or races, whatever. It's all based upon this false ego. The competition starts with our competition against Krishna, and then it manifests itself in different perverted ways in the material world. So as long as one is in this competitive aspect that I am American, I am Brahmin, I am this, I am that, then one is in ignorance. And as long as he's in ignorance, then he cannot understand things clearly. And if he can't understand things clearly, neither is he a spiritual master, nor is he a good disciple. So nishnatam means the absence of those things, this attachment and this aversion, this lack of real depth in hearing and chanting about Krishna, understanding Krishna consciousness. So raga leads to this idea that there's nothing beyond matter, and therefore one naturally neglects spiritual life. He's not very interested, because after all, if there's only matter, chanting Hare Krishna is just like some diversion. It's some, a little sport that we do a couple hours a day. And if there is nothing beyond matter, the next stage is not neglecting spiritual life. And then there is rag. Vita rag baya. Baya means fear. So when they go beyond this like conception that there's nothing beyond matter, one may even understand something that I'm not this body, but then he thinks that all my trouble is due to my personality. Therefore he wants to negate his personal identity, and he's always fearful that spiritual life is something like having a spiritual personality. One cannot conceive what it would be like to have a spiritual personality. So one thinks to negate one's identity due to fear. I'll be an imperson, whatever that is. And then some people think that this idea that you are the body, there's nothing beyond it, is a speculation. And the idea of merging into some Brahman is a speculation. They think everything is a speculation. They think ultimately everything is just nothing, is void. When you're dead, you're dead. And therefore they're always frustrated, angry. So this frustration that arises from the void conception of life. These are the primary misconceptions that prevent one from actually chanting Hare Krishna feelingly. Janmaishwarya Shuta Shri Veer Edamanak Madakpuman Naivahatya Vidati Vai Twama Kinshana Gochara. That anyone who's striving to increase this Janma. So Janma nowadays means no one is born in an aristocratic family. Everyone is taken as proud wherever he's born. Doesn't matter, I was born, in the lowest part of the city, but still I'm proud, because somehow or another we're better than everyone else. So whether I'm thinking I'm Indian, or I'm thinking I'm American, Australian, or whatever, this is all due to some misconception. And when one takes pride in this misconception, then he becomes completely bewildered as to his actual identity. And Aishvarya, nowadays wealth is the standard of more or less status in society. If someone has money, it doesn't matter whether he's the godfather of the mafia or not, still he's respectable because he has money. And Shruta, if one has a title after his name, then he's considered to be learned. Although he doesn't even know who he is, he doesn't know where he's going, he doesn't know what to do, but he's considered learned because he has some title. His PhD means plow it higher and deeper. And plow department, probably used to say. And Shuddha Sri Vira beauty, no one knows what anyone really looks like because they're covered by different types of camouflage. So no one really has an idea what's really the person it looks like. Sometimes people get married and then after they are with each other for some time, then suddenly the man sees the wife and says, "Who are you?" She says, "I'm your wife." "But you don't look like my wife." "Well, I took my makeup off." So these are all due to this striving to increase these material opulences. This means that one will not be able to chant Hare Krishna very sincerely because they all cover one's actual identity as a spiritual soul. Therefore, tasmat gurum prapadyate jignasu shreya udama. Then one has to be inquisitive how to get out of these conceptions of life. If one is developing these conceptions of life or maintaining them, therefore he won't be able to transcend them, go beyond them. Nishnatam, Brahma, and Shabda Pare, one has to have faith in the Vedas, that the Vedas are not contradictory, they're a conclusive knowledge, and ultimately they lead to understanding about Krishna. Shabde Pare, which is Krishna, Tanishnatam, fixed in service to him, Brahma Yupachrayashrayam, and detachment from material concepts. So these are the qualifications of the disciple. He has to be inquisitive, and the spiritual master has to understand things properly. And then, Tadviganartam, Sugurum Eva Bigachet, that one has to approach the spiritual master, Shotriyam Brahmanishtam, or here it says, Tadviganartam, Sugurum Eva Bigachet, so that means it's imperative to approach a spiritual master to inquire about the absolute truth and submit pani, and then one should carry something for sacrifice. In other words, the idea is not to go to the guru empty-handed. We'll sit around, we'll listen, he may tell me so many pleasant things, I'll laugh a few times, and then when he asks me to do something, I disappear. I know exactly, just like sometimes people are expert. They know that if they come to class regularly, then they'll be more or less forced to follow the information. So after a while they may hear something and may force them to do something in Krishna consciousness. Therefore they have a time for the Sunday feast. After the lecture, just when it's time for prasadam, they all show up. That way they won't be diverted, their attention may not be diverted to Krishna consciousness. They can get into the real aspect, what they're looking for, namely to eat the Sunday feast. In other words, if one should not only hear, but one should also want to do some service. Without doing service, the hearing is useless. So submit pani, one should carry firewood, which is more or less the firewood in previous times was meant for the beginning of the sacrifice. The spiritual master, he was engaged in sacrifice, and his disciples would assist him. Sumit Pani Srotriyam Brahmanishtam. And he must have heard Srotriyam. He heard with attention, he's understood. Srotriyam has the import of just like Shushusho Shradadanasya Vasudeva Katha Ruchi. So Shushu means to hear very nicely. So no one can really hear nicely unless he's prepared to do something. Why would we actually hear with attention unless we're actually prepared to follow what's being said? It doesn't make any sense to us. I gave the example one time. Just like if all the windows here were closed and someone came in and all the doors were closed, someone said that there's a bomb about to go off in this room in 3 minutes and all the doors are locked, but we'll tell you where the key is. So probably we'd all listen with great attention, and when they tell us where the key is, everyone would spontaneously, with a service attitude, go looking for the key. Is that right? We wouldn't have to encourage people and preach to them why it would be necessary to find the key, and you know how it would be actually for your ultimate good to find the key before the bomb went off. Everyone would take it as their self-interest, and that not only they hear the instruction, that they follow it because they think it was very important. Similarly, all of us are about to die, as I always say. And therefore we should find the key to how to get out of material entanglement, because the bomb is about to go off. There's one person named Kala behind this material world, or there's a person behind Kala, Krishna, and he's killing everyone. But he's giving everyone the key how to get out of material existence and come to the spiritual platform of consciousness. So one should take it very serious. Strotriam. One should not only hear, but one should practice, try to practice what one has understood, and gradually, by such practice, one should be able to hear better. Strotriam, Brahmanishtam, and the result should be one becomes fixed in the Brahman conception of life. That not only am I spiritual soul, but I'm Javiras Rupa Hoy Krishnara Nityadas. That I'm actually Krishna's servant. That I have no other interest beyond service to Krishna. My interest is not in some sectarian little group of people. Due to my bodily identification, there's always going to be a little sectarian group of people, even up to the point that one comes to the Hare Krishna movement and he thinks that I have a little group of people, that my spiritual master, he has his following, and we're a special set of devotees. Everyone else is a different set. We're the actual devotees, everyone else is aspiring one day to become a devotee. So this bodily concept of life is another impediment towards actually understanding what factually Krishna consciousness is. Even one comes to the second level of consciousness, of Krishna consciousness, Ishvaretada Dineshu, Balisheshu Dvitsatsucha, Prema Maitri Kripopeka, Yat Karoti Samadhi Maha, then he can understand clearly that all the devotees are all my friends, and I should reciprocate with them according to their level of spiritual advancement, not according to my own bodily mental conceptions of life. Only in the third class devotee, who is actually a materialistic devotee, that he holds materialistic concepts. Archam eva harie, pujam yakshadiye hate, nitadaneshu chanyeshu sabhakta prakrita smritaha. So in the third class devotee, he thinks, yes, I worship Krishna. He's my order supplier. I pray to him every day. You know, give me a house, give me a wife, give me a color TV. Jai Jagadisha Hari. So he's, and if he comes through the goods, then we offer him some donation and pray that it may turn into more. We put it so it's like gambling, make a bet on Krishna. Put a little something in the box, shake the box a little, and say, come on, boy, come on, let's go. So, such a mentality is certainly materialistic, and one doesn't know how to view other devotees. One doesn't really know who's a devotee because one conceives of everything through one's material concepts. So, in the second class platform, one is trying to get free from these materialistic concepts, come to the platform of trying to judge people not according to our external vision, but according to how much they're factually fixed in Krishna consciousness. And the first symptom of someone who's fixed in Krishna consciousness is that he simply repeats what Krishna says. And he follows what Krishna says. These two things, with his body, mind, and words, kayena manasa buddhya, kevala indriya api, yogina karma kuravanti sangha tyagvatma shudaye. The yogis abandoning attachment, material conceptions, they act with body, mind, and intelligence only for the purpose of purification. And Rupa Goswami says, iha yasya harera dasye karmana manasa gira anikilasya vavapsatsu jivan mukta suuchite. That one who engages his body, his mind, and words in Krishna's service, he's to be understood to be jiva mukta even in this lifetime, or a liberated soul. It's not a question of the color of the skin or the racial background or being born in a certain caste, a family, a certain varna. It is simply a question of how much one is engaged in one's body, mind, and words in Krishna's service. So that is what's explained here, that acharyamam vijaniyam navamanyata karhichit, that one should respect the acharya not because, one should respect him because he's fixed in the repeating Krishna's words and fixed in the service of Krishna. Not only fixed in serving, repeating Krishna's words, but the best acharya, the best spiritual master, is one who can explain everything clearly. The clearer one can explain something, then the more he can help his disciples or anyone make advance in spiritual life. So Prabhupada writes in the next verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that actually there are different types of spiritual masters, in the sense that there's a spiritual master who's understood everything perfectly, he's situated in transcendence, and he can objectively, or he's assimilated everything so well because he sees everything perfectly. And then there's another spiritual master who can give relevant instructions to help the disciple make progress in devotional service. The Prabhupada writes that the acharya, in the true sense of the term, who is authorized to deliver Krishna, enriches the disciple with full spiritual knowledge and thus awakens him to the activities of devotional service. In other words, what we actually need is a complete understanding of things as they are in relationship to Krishna. It's not a competition to join some club and then I'm saved because I'm a member, I'm a disciple and so and so, and therefore I'm saved, it doesn't matter what I do. This is the Christian concept. No, everything depends upon my receiving a full understanding of Krishna consciousness. And therefore, with a full understanding, then I'll become inspired to awaken or to engage in Krishna service wholeheartedly. So, my spiritual master, or if I misunderstood my spiritual master, and I remain in the third class platform, and instead of learning how to hear properly from who's ever speaking about Krishna authoritatively, if I don't hear them, what they're saying, then naturally I won't be able to follow their instructions, and if I don't follow their instructions, then the result is I remain in the material concept of life. And the result is that one ashradadana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa aprapyamam nivartante mrityu samsara vartmane. So who will suffer? I'll suffer if I don't hear and follow, because those who are not faithful in this path of devotional service, Krishna says, cannot obtain me, and therefore they come back to repeated birth and death in the material world. So if I'm thinking, if I'm speaking, if I'm acting from some relative point of view, from some material conception of life, and therefore I'll simply mislead others, and I'll be misleading myself. So as it says here, as Prahlad Maharaj will later tell his father, Hiranyakashipu, Naishamati stavara rukramangrim sprisha inarto pagavaginartam mahiyase pararuje vishekam niskinchanana navranita yadva. That Prahlad Maharaj, he told his father that Naishamati stavara rukramangrim, that one should take shelter of the devotees who are anartha. They're free from anarthas. Naishamatis tavada rukramangrin sprisha inartha pagavo inartha, who are free from all material concepts of life and materialistic things outside of devotional service. So one should take shelter, and the same word is used here is here, by touching their sprishan. Sprishan means touching. Tacharnam sprishan, touching their lotus feet. So it's not that we just go up to the spiritual master or any devotee just to touch their feet and we get electrified. Oh, I got the charge, now I can do whatever I want. No, the idea is service, just like the word shushusha. We're not only trying to hear from them, or we should be trying to hear from them, but we're also trying to engage in following with their instructions with understanding. Not blindly, but with full understanding. And that full understanding leads to doing things for what Krishna wants, to please Krishna. That's full understanding. And the result of that, if one does what's pleasing to Krishna with an attitude to please Krishna, known as Uttama Bhakti, then Krishna reveals himself and one can feel Krishna's presence in every step of life. That's known as Krishna consciousness. But if one doesn't know what Krishna wants, then one will do something that Krishna doesn't want. And if one is not trying to please Krishna, then one will try to please his senses, his mental concoction. And the result of that is that there will be no question of real Krishna consciousness. There will be no question of a higher taste. One will simply be developing a lower taste, and the lower taste will simply lead one to another material body for repetition of birth and death. So one nava manyate karichit. One should not think that any devotee is actually ordinary, because the devotee is actually the representative of Krishna. As much as the devotees are following, as much as they're repeating Krishna's message, as much as they've understood, then on the platform of Prakriti Bhakta, one will not actually experience the actual Krishna consciousness. One has to come at least to the second class platform to make progress towards the first class platform. So on the second class platform, as Prabhupada writes in the Krishna book, that one is able to appreciate how all the Vaishnavas are actually representatives of Krishna. When they discriminate between the different Vaishnavas, someone they respect within the mind, some of the Vaishnavas we may cooperate with, some of them we may follow faithfully. But if we mistake, if we don't develop this discrimination, then we remain on the third class platform, and if we don't develop the proper discrimination, then we may actually not only remain on the third class platform, but become contaminated by materialistic ideas even further. So one has to learn proper discrimination by coming to the second class platform and deal appropriately with the Vaishnavas, and this way our natural love and affection for Krishna and the devotees will develop. But if I deal with, even on the second class platform, if I don't deal properly with the different types of devotees, if I associate with the sahajiyas, those who are actually materialistic, then I'll simply wind up offending those who are actually Vaishnavas. If I don't cooperate with the devotees, then I'll neglect devotional service to Krishna. I won't develop enthusiasm for my service to Krishna. And if I don't hear from devotees who are more elevated than I am, I won't become inspired to perform devotional service. So one has to hear from the right source, in the right attitude, and the result will be that one will come to a higher platform of devotional service, by which one will become more inspired to love Krishna and to serve him, and one will be able to understand things more clearly in relation to Krishna. So that's ultimately the test. Bhakti Parashanu Vyaktir Anyatra Trika Ekakala Praparamanasya Tashnatas Tus Tushti Pushti Shudapaya Nugasam. That real bhakti is characterized by the ability to discriminate and see things as they're related to Krishna, and the ability to become more intimately desiring or loving Krishna, becoming more aware of Krishna and appreciating how wonderful he is and how wonderful everything in connection with him is, and to become distasteful or detached from those things which draw us away from Krishna consciousness. Just like when one eats a meal, with every bite there is simultaneously satisfaction, there is alleviation of hunger, and there is nourishment. That these things come spontaneously with every bite. So by proper execution of bhakti, under the guidance of the proper spiritual master, who is repeating the words of the disciple succession as he's understood them, then if I follow those same words with my body, mind, and words, then these things should be developed. And if these things are not developed, it's either I'm not hearing from the right person, or I'm not actually understanding what he's saying and then applying them within my life. So this is due to anarthas. So one should try to become free from these anarthas. And the result is, if we do become inquisitive and we understand things properly with the right attitude and we apply these things in our life, then these marvelous results of becoming Krishna conscious will actually be experienced. And then, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavitamati, then one will become absorbed in the mellows of loving Krishna. One will come to the platform where life will be always, one will enjoy life at every moment, just like the thrill. In any case, if we hear attentively and we apply it within our lives, one of the results will be that the process of Krishna consciousness will become clearer and more encouraging. Even if we're not on the first class platform relishing Krishna consciousness, at least we'll come to the second class platform where things will be progressively more clearer and more encouraging in devotional service. So at least we should come to that platform. So, I'll stop there. Thank you. Any comments? Yes.
Okay. The Prabhupada is mentioning here in the purport that an acharya is a perfect Brahma who has unlimited intelligence in instructing the disciple in how to act. So I'm just a little confused as to, should the disciples see the spiritual master, obviously, as an acharya? The Prabhupada wanted in our society that there only, should not be one acharya. How do we justify that?
Well, there's different words that mean acharya. Acharya could just mean an ordinary teacher. It could mean one's personal spiritual master, or it could mean the head of the institution. So there's different meanings for acharya. Prabhupada didn't want anyone, one person to be the head of the institution. He formed a DBC. And as Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Sarasvati Prabhupada said it, someone is self-realized, or the word is self-effulgent, then he may even naturally, spontaneously, people will take his guidance. Not that he has to be elected. That's the acharya. But naturally, anyone who's fully Krishna conscious, people, sincere devotees, will take his guidance. So he'll be able to, he'll, by his conclusive siddhanta, his unlimited intelligence, he'll know how to properly apply things according to time, place, and circumstance. And because he'll be able to clear up everyone's doubts, therefore people will take his guidance. But as far as one's personal spiritual master, the same thing holds true, even within our society. It's not just because I've taken someone as my spiritual master, therefore I understand everything. Of course, I may think I've understood as much as I want to, but that may not be sufficient for liberation. But if one is actually jignasu, inquisitive, then the whole idea is to get knowledge, to understand everything perfectly, ultimately to come to the platform of becoming conscious of Krishna in the mood of love, of devotion. So to understand that, it's not that I've taken initiation and now, you know, everything's perfect. No, initiation means the beginning. Initiation is meant to encourage me to hear properly with the attitude of service. That I'm taking a vow that not only am I going to hear from this person, but I'm also going to render him service. That whatever he tells me, I'm supposed to do. So this is service attitude. It's supposed to be perfect. Of course, we may take initiation out of sentiment, and it doesn't really matter what. I didn't take it with that understanding, and I'm supposed to be surrendered. And therefore, sometimes I do what he tells me, sometimes I don't. So that's not disciple. That's not a real disciple. Of course, one may try to, after some time, one may become a real disciple, but a real disciple is one who hears from the spiritual master and then follows the instructions. So a real spiritual master, he has to be beyond a kanista adhikar, real in the sense that, as Prabhupada says, a spiritual master may be of two kinds, but the real acharya in the true sense of the term, he's not simply trying to keep the faith of his disciples for his own worship. He understands that the objective is ultimately to become a servant of Krishna, and Krishna is in everyone's heart. And therefore, ultimately, as Krishna is the well-wisher of everyone, so one has to become everyone's well-wisher and try to help everyone become, serve everyone to become Krishna conscious. Assist everyone in the mission of human life to become Krishna conscious. But a kanista adhikari, because he doesn't see like that, he thinks himself to be the leader of some sectarian group of people. therefore he may not have sufficient information to help his disciples to appreciate others, either their activities in devotional service or their understanding of devotional service. Therefore the disciples won't take seriously what others are doing or saying in Krishna consciousness. Similarly, the second class platform, although a second class devotee may try to understand things properly, he may not always understand things properly. So a first class devotee is symptomatized by the fact that he always has conclusive understanding of devotion, and therefore he can properly guide who's ever under his guidance and inspire them in the right way to hear correctly from the right persons and to follow them with full enthusiasm, or with enthusiasm according to their level of advancement. So in our society, we're supposed to be training the devotees, everyone is supposed to be training the devotees how to see in the platform of Uttama Bhakti, or at least the second class devotees, to make friends with the devotees and cooperate with them, and to love Krishna, and to preach for the innocent, and to avoid those who are against Krishna. So at least in the second class vision, there will be progress towards the first class vision. But not that we should forget about the first class vision or the third class vision. We should try to get out of the third class vision and understanding, and we should try to get to the first class, and we can do that by trying to act in the second class. That's within everyone's realm of possibility. Yes. Well, I doubt whether he ever said that. Prabhupada didn't say that. I doubt whether Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada said that. He said if we can turn one person into a pure devotee, then our mission can be considered successful. So, as far as what kind of culture they had in Bengal 100 years ago, you know, I don't know. Maybe we may be a little sentimental and think that everything was perfect there. If you read the biographies and the histories, it was far from perfect. Although it wasn't, even America and Europe was not as degraded as it is presently, nor is India as degraded as it is presently. But we shouldn't be so sentimental. I mean, Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself explained about 18 different classes of upper sampradayas that were present, and Vaishnavism had practically disappeared at that time. So the culture was more or less, you know, maybe more, they had more sophisticated type of sense gratification and speculation, but it wasn't, you know, Vaishnava culture. But as far as, yes, it's difficult to become an Uttama Bhakti. Therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada said if he can even turn one disciple into a pure devotee, then his mission could be considered successful. So that's more to indicate what the mission is, rather than the fact that it's impossible to turn anyone into a pure devotee. His mission was not to get followers. His mission was not to get buildings or money. His mission was to get pure devotees. Similarly, Prabhupada was the same mission, to distribute transcendental knowledge and awaken people to transcendental knowledge. As Prabhupada once wrote to me, he said, I don't want buildings, I don't want money. I just want to see that my books are distributed. And because you're doing this, therefore I'm pleased. So not that Prabhupada didn't want buildings or money or followers, but he ultimately wanted transcendental knowledge distributed. That's what he really wanted. He wanted the buildings to be utilized to educate people in Krishna consciousness. Not that people come together with some sentimental vision and not really understand properly what Krishna consciousness is. Yes.
Serve
the ones who are behind us. Why don't you serve the ones
who are behind us?
Well, sure. Well, no, we're supposed to serve everyone. That's what our nature is. We can't avoid serving, but we just have to learn how to serve properly. That's all.
We shouldn't I see thinking that we're something, if we're more like we've been living it for a long time coming, we shouldn't think that we've reached a certain point of advancement. Should we just be humble and keep serving all the devotees?
Well, if you've reached a certain advancement, then you want to serve all the devotees. That's the symptom of becoming advanced. You become more of a servant. And the more advanced we are, the more we know how to properly please the different devotees according to the level of the spiritual consciousness. We know how to associate and serve the different devotees according to the level of advancement. So that's the symptom of becoming advanced. So if I'm actually thinking I'm advanced, if I'm actually advanced, then the symptom is I'll become a better servant.
We want to
stay in Maya, we can be like that. In other words, one should see that I'm nothing. Who am I? I'm simply the servant of my spiritual master, who's a Paramahansa, who's beyond any kind of material designation. So just like even if I'm thinking I'm Prabhupada's disciple, which there are a group of people thinking like that, I'm Prabhupada's disciple, therefore I'm above everyone. But Prabhupada was a Paramahansa, he was the most humble. So I'm actually his disciple. That means I should be the most humble. I shouldn't seek with these designations. And even if I have a designation, then I should just simply utilize it in Krishna's service. Not that I become the designation, but it's simply some tool to utilize to help others become more Krishna conscious. My real designation is Juvera Sarupahoy Krishnara Nityada. I'm nothing but the humble servant of Krishna. That's all I am. I'm not this person, I'm not that person, I don't belong to this group, that group. I belong to Krishna's group. Well, we repress things because we don't have full understanding. So I should try to get a full understanding, a clear understanding of what's going on, how to properly feel and think and do things. And if I'm Krishna conscious, there won't be anything to repress, because everything will be simple and clear. And when everything is very confused and complicated, then there's reason to repress, because I don't know what to do. So it's a question of getting a clear understanding. And that clear understanding comes through submission, through service, and through inquiries. And ultimately by getting the blessings of Krishna and his devotees.
So you shouldn't
isolate yourself, and be
away from
the very
thinking that you can do it yourself.
Is
that
would be
dangerous
to
get caught in
a
mental platform then?
What do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
agree. Anything else? Yeah.
I just think that the Hare Nama song, that the 11 o'clock outside of the
good. Thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.